You are listening to the Effective Statistician Podcast, a weekly podcast with Alexander Schacht and Benjamin Pieske, designed to help you reach your potential, read great science, and serve patients without becoming overwhelmed by work. This is episode number 79, Statisticians Stepping Up, Leadership Success Stories, and this is part one of it. When I first started in the industry, I had a discussion with my supervisor at that time, and he was explaining to me that statisticians are much more than just what he called table monkeys. And it took me quite some time to understand what really he meant by that and what a table monkey is, and that there's much more to statistics and statisticians than just producing results out of data. There's, you know, there's so much in design and leadership where statisticians can add a lot of value to the overall organization. And so over the years, I learned more and more about that. And that is really also the story of today. Today we'll talk about leadership and how statisticians can learn about it and how they can take action from it. And it's really, really awesome that two students from the leadership program, from the Effective Statistician Leadership Program, share their stories about how they learned about leadership, how they took action, and how that helped them drive additional value for their organization, and how they're actually quite excited about it. And you'll surely get a lot of excitement from this interviews, and so hopefully that also gives you some motivation to step up and be a leader in your organization as well. So in terms of leadership and driving change, we also have an upcoming webinar. If you listen to this shortly after the episode goes live, you can still go to theeffectivestatistician.com and look for the webinar on how to be better at innovation and drive change. It's for free, of course, and it takes place on September 30th at 4 p.m. time here in Central Europe, 3 p.m. in London, 10 a.m. on the East Coast in the U.S., and 7 a.m. on the West Coast in the U.S. So just go there, register there, and for our last webinar, we had more than 300 people signing up, so that was really, really amazing. So check out this webinar. I'm sure it will be also quite well helpful. So now coming back to our podcast. This podcast is created in association with PSI, a global member organization dedicated to leading and promoting best practice and industry initiatives. Join PSI today to further develop your statistical capabilities with access to the video on demand content library, free registration to all PSI webinars, and much, much more. Just visit the PSI website at psiweb.org to learn more about all the upcoming PSI activities and become a PSI member today. Hi, Ludi. It's great to have you on this call and speak a little bit about leadership development and specifically about our leadership program from the Effective Statistician. You're now nearly done completely with the program. What did you find most helpful up to now?
Well, I found a lot of things helpful. So specifically, two things stand out in my mind. So one is, the program really helped me to demystify and break down what leadership is. So before starting this program, I've always, you know, sort of looked at certain individuals and thought, hey, this person is really this person is a very effective leader. This person is someone that I look to when things are uncertain and we're kind of floundering, hesitating. So I, you know, there's just people that you know that stand out, whether it be actual people in management positions or people that were just very calm and very experienced that you trust. So, but this program helped me to break it down into the reasons why, and specifically like the modules that we have, you know, like business acumen, trust, influence. And it allowed me to be able to recognize leadership skills in my day-to-day working life so that I could, so instead of, you know, me thinking it's something that is you either have or you don't, or it's something that you can't, like some people are just kind of born with it. It helped me to understand like, okay, there's these very specific aspects and skills that you can work on. And, you know, that will overall contribute to being a more effective leader in all kinds of situations. So I think that's the first one. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Can you give an example for one of these skills that you identified for yourself?
So specifically for me, I think communication and then building trust is a big one. So I have been told that sometimes my communication could be more clear and concise. And I think that ultimately, you know, it contributes to being more effective and being just kind of efficient as well, using fewer words to describe, you know, the same ideas. So for example, I remember one aspect that Gary mentioned was the three things we could use to, when we have prepared speeches, to sort of influence and impact people is the logic, the ethics, and the emotional appeal. I think he calls logos, ethos, and pathos. And I think about it, I'm like, yeah, that's actually exactly why sometimes I walk away with this, from certain talks and I feel inspired, or I feel a call to action, or I feel that, you know, I feel a certain way and it gets a reaction out of me. So that's one aspect that I will try to use more. And I have been trying to use more of the emotional appeal in some of my talks. So I don't have a lot of, you know, chances for doing that. But when I do, try to sort of put a more personal spin on it so that, you know, people are more likely to just be more engaged and care more.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point.
The other one is building trust. I am also, that goes along with me becoming more purposeful as a result of this program. So meaning that before, if I was working on a project, I would simply see it as that, an opportunity to work on a project with someone, and each interaction would be more focused, task focused on, you know, getting the right analysis and getting the right interpretation and getting it out to the right people. However, as a result of this, I started to be more purposeful with all of these interactions and realized this is a chance to build my network, and it's a chance to learn about what other people are doing, you know, so that you could be more, perhaps have increased your business acumen in the process. It's a chance to learn about people's personal motivations and to care about them so that, you know, it builds trust. And, you know, certain kind of events are not just purely for fun. They are for sort of building a network of people that I trust, people that trust me.
So basically you're having the same meetings before, just kind of, you're not just focusing on the task at hand, but you're also building a relationship, consciously engaging there, making time for that, so that you can later on leverage these kind of trust-building things. And this trust-building just overall makes things much more smoother.
Yeah, I completely agree. And something else that I sort of took from this program is that it's not very effective to compartmentalize the practicing of these, the application of these skills. So I think I'm tend to be of the mind of, you know, okay, I will schedule 2 hours every Friday to think about, you know, how to develop my leadership skills and what to do. But I don't think that's how it works. I think we have to incorporate these things into our daily lives. It just has to be part of the landscape, you know? So when I, the skills that we learn, the tips that we learn, certainly we can, like Gary said, we can choose one and choose to focus on it for, you know, for 6 months or something. And then he said, if you just do that, then in, you know, even in a couple years, even in several years, you will have a lot of improvement. So I like that idea of, you know, focusing on starting with several that we can make good headway with and feel improvement. And then over time, before you know it, you've built up a really good repertoire of leadership skills. But the main thing for me is to not think about it as something that I do at a separate compartmentalized time, but it's changing my day-to-day activities.
Yeah, and that's how we wanted to see program to run, that, you know, you have this learning in the webinar, in the podcast, and then through the assignments, you basically change your day-to-day behavior. And I think that the nice feature about that is you can learn it directly in your day-to-day work, and it's not an additional burden in terms of time commitment to, you know, watch a lot of videos or things like that, but actually have some things that you can practice directly and learn directly from the experience. So in terms of that, of these different assignments, is there anything that you remember where you learned a lot from one of these assignments?
Yeah, I think a couple assignments that I learned the most from were the movie clips that were shown to that were assignments, mm-hmm. and we would have discussions about them. It made me realize that, well, I started to pick out other examples as I'm watching different shows, and, you know, they go across the spectrum genres, but that was very, especially say from, I think, the movie Hoosiers and Hidden Figures. I think we took several from Hidden Figures. So that was very helpful. A way of a teaching tool that I really enjoyed. And it also allowed me to think about leadership and act in similar ways to acting, because in a way, you know, you're trying to project you're trying to be perceived a certain way. You're trying to project confidence. And so in a way, maybe in the beginning to me, because it's not so natural to me, it might feel a little bit like act, but then over time it should come more natural. Mm-hmm. Another sort of teaching tool that I enjoyed was the ones where we were asked to observe people in our working relationships. I think there was one that asked mm-hmm. about people that you work with who and how they handle different types of conflicts and how they handle different types of communication. So it made me look around myself and see that there are bits and pieces that I can pick from everyone around me that if I were to incorporate would greatly increase my effectiveness.
Yeah. So basically you see, you can learn not only through the video clips that we had, but also through the actual interactions that you have on a day-to-day basis. You see kind of how people are using leadership skills in a good way. You know what these leadership skills are, so you know what to look for. And through that, you have this experience. Okay, that was done well. Here, there was a good connection build. Here, something wasn't done well. So you can see, you know, the direct impact of good and bad leadership behavior and good and bad implementation of leadership skills. So I think that's a really important takeaway. If you know what to look for, mm-hmm. you have a much better chance of learning from it. And I think the short video clips that we are using, it's mostly they are kind of 3 to 5 minutes or something like that. It's really nice to see how in different movies, like The Hidden Figures, these leadership skills come through and how they show how important it is, because through these skills, then these women at NASA really have a big impact on lots of the different programs.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, I was also going to add, I really did also enjoy the way Gary and you framed everything, which is, you know, this, and he kept repeating it, the student of leadership. So I like that mm-hmm. concept, because it means that the student means you the whole reason you're here is to grow, is to get better, and that anybody can choose to be a student of leadership if you put in the effort. And so it makes it more of a continuous lifelong journey instead of like, okay, have you got it?
It's not kind of like you go on a course, you get the exam and you're done.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think the good thing is through the program, you get all the foundational pieces and then you know how to learn for it. What I really personally enjoyed is a lot the masterminds. Yeah. What do you think about this mastermind concept where we get together as a small group and then speak about the learnings?
I think it's great. I think that the benefit for me is being that this program is actually is kind of a niche area because, you know, I've been to other talks about leadership, but they're often geared towards a very wide variety of personalities and roles and industries. But this program is very specific, the challenges that we deal with, the strengths and weaknesses that we have seem to be very tailored, you know, for people working in as statisticians in the healthcare industry. So I thought that, you know, like 98% of the examples that my fellow students were in, I thought to myself, yeah, I deal with that too. Like, I'm glad you brought that up, you know. So I really enjoy the masterminds because it's a safe place for us to explore and to sort of break down what happened, what would I do about it, how is this leadership concept that we're focusing on this month, how does that really apply to us? And I enjoy like the back and forth because I think I like hearing about specific examples that are going on in people's lives and Gary and you go into that as well as the other attendees.
Yeah. I enjoyed that a lot as well. So thanks so much for this short interview, Ludis. That was really, really helpful. And becoming a student of leadership is a lifelong journey, and it's awesome that you embarked on it and that you already see success in your day-to-day work, and that it's really inspiring to become a student of leadership for life. Yeah. So awesome.
Thank you.
So I hope you enjoyed the interview with Ludi, which was quite nice to see how she learned, how she took action and really got something out of this program. And I'm so glad that people are taking action, because knowledge is nothing without taking action. It's really converting knowledge into your day-to-day habits, into, you know, your mindset, into your actions that you're taking, into how you influence on others. That is where the value comes from. Just the knowledge doesn't drive any value. So as someone said, knowledge is not power, it's just potential power. And I'm really glad that Ludi took action and got additional power here. And now I'm talking to Sam Gardner, who's actually a statistician working in animal health for one of the larger animal health companies. Hi, Sam, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks, Alexander.
Very good. And we are nearly the completion of the effective leadership, the effective statistician leadership program. And so it's great that we are talking a little bit about your experience with the program and how that helped you in your day-to-day job. So in terms of the program, if you think back, what did you find most helpful about the program?
Well, I think the number one thing that was most helpful is that the structure of the program has helped me to go through the aspects of leadership and evaluate them one step at a time. And that has really highlighted to me the areas where I think I'm doing well in the area of being a leader, but also the areas where I really need to work on and improve as a leader.
And so we have gone through a couple of different points, from basic leadership understanding through communication, trust and teamwork, networking, building relationships, lots of different things. So if you think about a specific one of these, what would you think have you applied directly in your day-to-day job and which helped you there?
Right. Well, you know, the five parts of the leadership model that you said: communication, trust and teamwork, business acumen, having influence on decisions, and then focus. Probably the number one area that I recognize that I need to work on is business acumen. And it's really about understanding the big picture, and understanding sort of the reason behind why certain decisions get made within a company. And that has a lot to do with just the reality of the business environment that I work in. It has a lot to do with the people. Sometimes it's just driven by personality. Sometimes it's driven by history. There's been a long history of the way decisions have been made, and one decision tends to lead to another decision, which leads to another. And so when you come into a situation where you haven't been involved with that history, or you don't know the people as well, or maybe you don't understand the business or the business environment that well, when you propose an idea, sometimes you get this look like, well, what are you talking about? Don't you know what's going on? And I encounter that a lot. I tend to be fairly, I guess I would say, rational and logical, almost to a fault. I'm rational and logical. I took an assessment once, a personality assessment, and it said I was terminally serious. I'm just, you know, and I come across that way. And when you come into a situation where you don't understand the bigger picture and you're just super serious, very serious, you can just be viewed as, I don't know, like who brought this robot into the room to cause problems. So I'm learning to be better about understanding the real business environment that I work in. That was probably the number one thing. And I admit, too, that that's the hardest thing for me right now. The other thing that has been really valuable here at the end of the course is this emphasis on having focus. And I think that's really helping me to try to organize my life and organize my time and organize my thinking about what I do so that I can be more effective in my work and be a better leader.
Yeah, because in the end, to really grow and develop yourself, there's, I think, two things that need to happen. There's one thing, of course, kind of the practicing the newly learned skills in the day-to-day work. But then, of course, there's also time where you need to reflect on things, where you need to plan out things, where you need to maybe reread a couple of things, or maybe read new books, so to hone in further on your skills. And I think that's so that you can become a student of leadership for life. That's a goal here.
Right. And if you don't have focus, that will never happen.
Yeah. So in terms of coming back to the business acumen, is there a particular thing that you learned through the program, or where the program helped you to learn something about business acumen that helped you in your day-to-day job already?
Yeah, there was a great exercise we did, which was mapping out my network, writing down all the people that I interact with and sort of ranking them and organizing by how strong is that relationship that I have? How well do I know them? Who are people that I may need to get to know better and understand better so that I can have a more direct connection with them? I thought that was really helpful. What I discovered is I have a really large network. The area that I work in, I am the one of the only statisticians that do what I do within the company. And I get connected with a lot of different people. You know, so my network that I started mapping out had two pages of people, you know, single space written down mm-hmm. one at a time. And it almost got to be a bit overwhelming. So what I did is I was able to take that list and then narrow it down to, okay, these are the people that I have a pretty good relationship with, the network that I have, that those are, that's a strong part of my business network. But then who are the people where I probably ought to have a better connection with? How can I start working on making that happen? And in reality, the number one way that that happens is just by spending time with them and talking to them. And so that's one of the things I've taken on, is just to try to pick some of the people on that list and just spend some more time getting to know them, talking about work with them, but also just talking about life and understanding them better as a person.
Yeah. Why was the latter so important for you? The understanding what they're doing outside of work as well.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, we're all people in work, right? If we could just design a business that only had robots that did work, work would happen really smoothly and there would never be any problems unless the robot broke down, right?
No conflicts at all.
Right, no conflicts at all, right? But we're not. We're people, and people bring themselves to work, and they bring everything about them to work, whether it's their history, it's their family, it's their, you know, their preferences and their personality. And so, you know, understanding the people better is a really important part of being able to work with them well, and then ultimately be able to have influence with them. If you can't make a connection, sometimes it's just difficult to have influence with people in your network.
Yeah. Because the connection, you need to build trust. And you need trust to influence them. And so all these kind of different things link together. Yeah, awesome. So in terms of influencing, how has the program up to now already helped you to have more influence at work?
Number one, I think this emphasis on focus has really helped me just to pick the most important things that I should work on. There, mm-hmm. I have more things I could do than I could possibly ever do in my work. We have more problems to solve than I could ever work on to help improve our business and the way we do things. So prioritizing those and picking the things that are most important. And then also networking that with my leadership, you know, my administrative leadership in the company, just to say, do you think this is the most important thing? And getting a yes or a no, and getting their priorities and making sure those are aligned, and then just work on those. So instead of the 20 things that I could work on and not get any of them done this year, let's pick two or three and let's see if I can get those done this year. And then next year I'll pick two or three more and see if I can get those done next year. I think that the other aspect of that is applying that same model to the people that I work with. So if I'm on a project team and we're working on solving a problem, let's make sure that the scope of the problem is manageable, and that we have the right focus. And then also again, making sure that the goals or whatever the project we have are supported by the overall leadership of the company and that they're aligned with the bigger business picture.
Mm. Yeah. So basically you first need to lead yourself in terms of having the right focus, having clear goals, knowing where you are strong and where you maybe have areas for an improvement, and then select the right projects for you. And then the other influencing is then the influencing others, and here in this case, your supervisor, to make sure that he is aligned with you in terms of what are your priorities and what are the things that you're not working on. So being able to influence your supervisor is actually one of the keys to success in work, I would say.
Right. Yeah. I'll add another thing that I recognized about myself going through the class was when we talked about trust and teamwork, and we had to map out our trust network, you know, and who do we have trust with? I recognize that one of my issues that I have to deal with is that I have a hard time trusting leaders. Mm-hmm. And I think I remember I shared that in one of our mastermind groups.
Yeah.
And there was a pause, there was a silence, like, what do you mean? And I was trying to be a little bit vulnerable and a little bit honest there. And I just, that's been my history in my work, is I just have not had a strong trust in the leaders that I've had to needed to follow, the leaders that I've needed to follow in my work. And I think part of that is not good about me, right? And that's something I need to work on and change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, but that's good. That's kind of the area where the masterminds are so helpful, because we can talk about all these kind of different things. And it's great that you stepped up and showed that vulnerability, because I think you profited a lot from that, and the overall mastermind group learned. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's a bit connected to, you know, when I talked about business acumen, and that's probably one area I need to grow. Maybe I don't have as much business acumen is because I don't trust the leaders that I should be listening to and learning from.
All the different things are connected. Yeah. Yes. That's very,
right.
Very, very correct. Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. In terms of the next steps beyond this program, what are you doing? What will you do differently in the future in terms of keeping learning more about leadership skills?
Well, I think, you know, reading books and articles and stories of people who are effective leaders and reading about different approaches to leadership is a great thing to do. And I think you can find a lot of different types of resources that do that. A lot of people, there are a lot of different philosophies about mm-hmm. leadership, yep. right? This training class, the effective statistician is promoting and pushing, you know, one model and view of leadership. And I think it's a reasonable one, but there are other ones that might be equally reasonable and equally good. And so understanding those and trying to pick the parts of them that seem to be good and that will help me grow is important. I think, you know, the being content where I am for now is an important thing too. Don't try to look for the next new thing, but just try to stay where I am and be influential where I am is also something I want to work on. My if you looked at my job history, it kind of looks like I can't keep a job because I've just moved around from job to job over my career. And that in part, many ways, just because I tend to have a lot of curiosity mm-hmm. and I like to learn things. I like to experience new things. And so I've just moved from role to role. But what I've seen, the downside of that is that I have not necessarily stayed long enough in any one place to build up the things that I need to have more influence. And so I want to stay where I'm at. I want to work on being a better leader where I am. And then maybe other opportunities will come for other types of leadership. I think leadership too, what we learned and we talked about classes, leadership isn't necessarily management.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know how good of a manager I actually am. I only have one person that reports to me right now, and I've only had a few people in my career report to me. So maybe we should ask them how good of a manager I am. But what I'm trying to do is find ways to be a leader where I can have influence on the business. And so, but I do think staying put and staying where I am and trying to grow where I am rather than looking for something different and new right now is probably an important thing for me. And that's more of an internal issue I have to deal with, being content where I am.
But that is actually a great decision from your end, so that you decided for yourself to not just go for the next shiny object, but to stay in the place to really maximize your influence there, and with that overall have more impact on the overall business, generate more value for the company as well as for the clients. That's actually a quite great achievement, I need to say. Awesome.
And one thing I've had the opportunity lately to do is to be also involved with some industry groups, external industry groups. And I think there's an opportunity for me to be a leader in those groups, whether it's through a professional society or through a regulatory agency or one of the pharmacopeias, that being involved as a volunteer in those groups is also a way for me to be a leader and be a benefit, not just to my company, but to the pharmaceutical industry overall. Yeah.
And of course, that will be an awesome opportunity to expand on your business acumen, of course.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Very good. Thanks, Sam, so much for this small interview, and keep on doing it. It's really an awesome development.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Alexander. I appreciate you wanting to talk to me about this. And I also appreciate you and Gary really taking the initiative and having this idea of putting out a leadership development class for statisticians. I think it's a bit unique. I don't really know if I see that in other industries. I've not heard of that where, you know, you have a leadership development program for chemists or leadership development program for engineers. And this is, I think, a unique thing. And I hope it's something that continues to grow and be valuable to statisticians in the pharmaceutical industry.
Thanks so much. Thanks so much. Just saying thank you. Okay. Bye.
Bye.
So now you have listened to two examples of how statisticians took action and converted their knowledge into power by learning more about leadership, increasing their knowledge, but also really taking action. And that's so, so inspiring. I feel it's so inspiring to see these example cases and listen to also their excitement and how that changed their job, but also how it has an impact on their teams, on all the other people they're working with. So if you want to find out more about this program that they participated in, as well as the show notes and the upcoming webinar, go to theeffectivestatistician.com and there you'll find all the additional materials that you need. There's actually also a section on how to speak with your supervisor if you're interested in joining the leadership program, which the registration is starting end of September and will be restricted up to end of October. So you can already sign up in there to get, you know, notified really, really fast. And if you're listening to this during October, then you can sign up there. We have only limited spaces, so it will be pretty interesting to see how quick they fill up. The show was, as usual, created in association with PSI, and I'm really, really glad that we have another person in the background helping now. So thanks for Rain, who is our assistant and helping in the background. Thanks for listening. And as always, reach your potential, lead great science, and serve patients. Just be an effective statistician.